Hey, dear friends, this is Russ Dizdar, and it is great to be back with you. Listen, tonight as we get ready, we're going to delve into a subject this week that is going to, listen, challenge many. So be ready this week as we get challenged. The topic for the week, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night, idols that can't hear, speak, or help you. Now, when we say the word idol, we might think in terms of something, you know, long ago, back in the past. Are there idols today? Without exception. And we need to realize that idolatry is real. We need to understand what it is. We need to understand what Martin Luther, the reformer, said concerning idolatry or what it actually is. He said, whatever your heart clings to can become an idol. And so we might have idols in our lives. I read the title of a book. I read the book years ago, but the title is Idols for Destruction. Now, God was very intent in the Old Testament days to have the people get rid of idols, not have idols. You should, I mean, just do a search on the word idol or idolatry, and you're going to find out that God is absolutely, you know, coming to the people, training the people, teaching the people, on the one hand, to stay away from idols, destroy the idols, get rid of the idols. There is idols that can't speak, they can't hear, they can't help you. But on the other hand, where do the idols come from? That is something we're going to take a look at. And we're going to talk about modern day idolatry, modern day idols that have become a substitute for the real thing. Now, that's a vital issue this week. Tonight, Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to talk about, well, the title for this under the topic is Calling for Help When No One Is There. Idols for Destruction. Tuesday night is the universe God and can it hear you? Does it speak? On Wednesday night at 6, when science gets God under their microscope, slicing God. And then Friday, we're going to do an introduction to the God particle, which on Sunday night we're going to have a two-hour program. But again, check out shatterthedarkness.net for all of that information. And, you know, you can see that we're doing the live shows during the week here, that we have the archives with this, that we're putting up some broadcast and podcast and also the live show Sunday night. So we invite you to come to all of those things. And want to say this, that this hour can be a very, very supernatural hour. An hour in which you're going to be impacted and maybe, well, let me tell you this, depending on where you are in life, if you don't know God, I want you to know the good news. God loves you. God knows you. And God is after you. That's right. God is after you. So again, welcome to all the believers in Christ out there, but also welcome to all those who are seeking, those who are looking, those who are wanting to find their way. The good news is God is seeking you, and God is knowable. God could be known. God can be experienced. And this is what the cross, what Christ is all about. That's why he came. I mean, whatever you look at concerning, you know, all the discussions out there, the reason that he came was to bring us to God. And if you're a seeker, and an honest seeker at that, then I encourage you to delve into the book of the Gospel of John and just keep asking, God, show me yourself. And great things can begin to happen. Now, all of us need to respond to God. Believers in Christ out there, we need to respond to God. I want to say welcome to all of you who have been praying. I know that you've gone to the site. Some of you sent me emails that, and you knew that I was gone for a number of days down in Tennessee with my mother, and again, 77 years old. Once again, I'm being told that she's near death, but I tell you what, I'm amazed. By Saturday evening, I'm walking my mom down, well, in the rehab, this place she's at. We're walking. She's got, of course, a walker on wheels. She's walking, and we're talking Sunday, same thing. I'm amazed at what, you know, how she's responding, and want to say thank you to all those who have written, all of you who've prayed. Listen, prayer is about looking to God for God's intervention, God's grace, God's help. Now, notice we didn't cry out to the universe to answer us. We didn't just say, hey, Mr. Universe, please help us. We cried out, we called out to a living, ultimate, listen, not only infinite, but personal God that cares. And he knows your name. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know this is a relationship. And this week we're going to deal with the things that steal that relationship, the things that seek to replace that relationship. Hey, by the way, I have the series, and I know we missed Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'll catch up on those, but today, 31 Days of Blaze, and I believe the one called How to, well, I think it is Day 7, How to Get the Most Out of the Word of God. So it's there for you if you want to get that. And also, the Abyss series is out there free, and some of the other interviews and things that are coming up. And the series that we're adding to is out there also. So I want to tell you about those things and let you know there's tons of stuff, I believe, out there to help you on the shatterthedarkness.net website. Again, this is Russ Dizdar. It is a privilege to be here, and I am aware of the thousands upon thousands of listeners that many of you have needs, and many of you are going through things. And I'm going to share with you today that even though we talk about, and I will say this, I know individuals, they just do, whether it's astrology or they just cry out to the universe. I heard this the other day, someone crying out to the universe as if the universe was going to speak back or reach down and help. How is it that we can grasp all the substitutes but not get the real thing? How is it that we can get lesser things and see them as, well, idols? And I want you to be, you know, engaged this week, because there may be idols, you know, that we cling to that we need to get rid of. I mean, Israel had a lot of those issues to deal with. You know, you can go back and read Deuteronomy 29. When God says to the people, you know what he says? These are the words. You yourselves know how we lived in Egypt and how we passed through the countries on the way here. You saw among them their detestable images and idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord your God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Now listen to this. This is very important when God is speaking about this issue. And I challenge New Agers today. I challenge remote viewers and others today that are clinging to a substitute spirituality, or crying out to the universe, or looking to the energy that's behind things as if that's the ultimate thing. God says at the end of this warning about idols, and I quote, make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. That's how God saw idols, as bitter poison. And I don't know if, you know, again, listen, you can write in if you'd like to. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. But during the show live, you can write in shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And you can take the time to, you know, put a comment up or send in a question. This week, though, in this engagement, I do expect that there's going to be some that will, well, really, really be engaged or encountered, maybe to the point where, you recognize that what you've been holding on to really can't speak to you, and it can't help you, and it can't answer you, and it's really not even listening to you. We can say that by the millions, there are individuals that are embracing the concept of alien presence. And once again, there is this, by the millions, individuals that will want to embrace a master, you know, race of alien beings. I mean, the Vatican came out to talk about if there's aliens that show up, that it's not a conflict with the gospel. The big issue that I see, number one, is it seems that everything that's been going on with the alien issue demonstrates that they are secretive, that they are evil, that they are using us, that they are kidnapping, that they are literally raping, that there's a ominous side to this ufology. Now, on the other hand, I hear what are considered very intelligent individuals out there referring to alien presence as the hope of the human race. And as if this was the originators of the human race, the masters of the human race, almost attributing to some kind of intelligent master race, as if this is God. This is the ultimate hope. And I want to say that for millions, it has become a point of idolatry. And God has spoken to humanity, and God has said that make sure, you can read about this in Deuteronomy 29, make sure that there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. That, to me, is an amazing thing. Now listen, as we get going again this week, we are catching up on a number of things on the series, on the 31 Days Ablaze, and even on the emails, which we're about 400 and some behind again. We're just trying, you know, to catch up. So we love you. We're responding as quickly as we can. We're going to be engaged with some interviews again this week. Dr. Stan Monteith will be on the 9th and 15th. And Proof Negative Radio. And also, I think Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, I see a message today, and I'll get back with her about maybe coming on again the Power Hour. So that would be great. I'd love to do that. Listen, as you think through the series this week, and you think in terms of idolatry, I mean, idols can be humanism, existentialism, even nihilism. I believe that atheism, even being an agnostic, I believe that there are intellectual idols. These are this intellectual or a systematizing of a belief system that individuals then begin to cling to. It's what they put their life into. I think that Mr. Dawkins does this, though he seems to have a passion against God, hate God, get rid of God, anybody that believes in God. You know, we've been looking at some of the things that he's been saying, and we may do a series interacting on some of the concepts of atheism. But let me tell you something. Atheism is a system. It's a belief system. It's something that people engage in. But I want you to know that when the trouble comes, and the end of life comes, or the end of the age comes, what are you going to do? Are you going to cry out to Mr. Atheism, can you help me? Can you speak? Can you hear me? Can you reach into my life and help me? See, I don't know what atheists tell their children. I don't know what agnostics tell their children. I think that there are intellectual systems that are embraced by individuals, that in their minds, concepts are concretistic. They are solidified as belief systems in their life. And you know what? It's what they believe. It's what their heart clings to. And I believe that this is the very thing that God is speaking about. And God is saying that it's bitter poison. Bitter poison to the end. A substitute. And we're going to talk about tonight why our hearts need to cling to anything outside of us. I mean, why do we cling to anything? Why do we call out to anything? In the Old Testament, you have idols. You have gods and goddesses. Among the Mayans, you had these gods that were there. You have all around the world. And today you have spiritual belief systems that are not rooted in the revelation of God, that haven't come from God. They have become substitutes. And the substitutes, or, now listen, spirituality has now become an idol. A vast and broad idol. People say, well, I don't believe in religion anymore. I don't believe in organized religion. I'm just spiritual. I said those exact same words in 1970. I was talking to a young lady that I had bought a cross necklace for Christmas. And she said, you must be religious. You're really into religion. I said, well, I don't believe in religion. I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual because I was going to a temple, learning Golden Buddha and learning and engaging something spiritual. But it never led to God, never brought me to God. And there's a difference between the two. So the idols of the past and the idols of the present right now literally are substitutes for what it is our hearts were made for. What our heart as a human being. And let me tell you something, that's all I am. I'm just a human being crying out to you to tell you. And I'm going to share my experience. I can share that God is real, that God is knowable, that God does speak, God does listen. For those who are believers, you can go to the Psalms again and again. And notice the Psalms where the writer, again and again, he doesn't say, O universe, hear my voice. I cry out to the universe, please listen to me. I bring my grief, I bring my trouble, I bring my pain to the energy of creation, and I want it to heal, hear me and help me and answer me. In all of the Psalms, it is about a personal relationship with the ultimate, with the infinite, with the personal, relational God that not only made us to be in fellowship, but since the fall and this ragged edge and the sin that separated us, seeks to bring us back. Now listen to me just for a moment, okay, because there are soldiers listening right now, maybe even in the archives during the week, that I want you to know that regardless of the painful issues of life that try to speak to you and say that God doesn't care, regardless of the lies of the dark side trying to say that God's not good, God doesn't love you, God doesn't care, why did God leave you here? All those things that Satan tried to do to Job, to get Job mad at God. That's part of the methodology of the dark side. To turn your heart away from God and give you a substitute. Those listening right now, you either have embraced the living God through Christ. You know him in his person, in his presence, in relationship, in prayer. You know what the Psalms are all about. You know how the relationship between the writer and the psalm crying out, O Lord, hear my voice. You see how the writer says again and again, and I did this once. You know what I did? I went through all the Psalms, and I noticed that in all of the cases where the psalm writer is crying out to God, bringing his trouble, bringing his pain, bringing his grief, bringing his questions, bringing his frustration, God had no trouble with them bringing all of this before him. In every case where the writer is making God the refuge and talking to God and seeking God, in every single case, you could read it for yourself. God answered or delivered or intervened or interacted or brought them out. In every time, every case, all the way, 150 Psalms, again and again and again, teaching us whatever we're going through, whatever's happening, there is a personal living God that is able to rend the heavens and come down, who is able to invade our lives and bring an answer, to give instruction, to give encouragement. And I think that that's the massive, massive difference between what I hear. And it is sad to me. See, on this side of the fence, knowing that God is personal, knowing that God hears me, when I pray, I don't believe my prayers are having to ascend, you know, miles and miles into outer space. And that somehow, some way out there, what I've spoken, the molecules of the word, somehow gets heard. I believe that in relationship to God, that the scriptures teach that even before we utter the word on our lips, God already knows what it is we're going to say, what it is we're going to ask, what it is we're going to speak. He knows your tears. He knows how to interpret it. He knows exactly what you mean, even if you don't know fully what you mean when you're talking to God. Prayer's not about talking to the universe. Prayer's not about just sending words out into space, hoping that somehow the energy of those words will somehow grab somebody else. It's not about sending positive energy or negative energy. Idols that can't hear, can't speak, they can't help you. And when we as mankind make creation an idol, when we turn creation itself into the idol, when we turn creation and look at it as if it's divine and God and it's what's going to answer us, and somehow we're going to embrace space, we're going to embrace dark matter, we're going to embrace infinity in the sense of physical. See, when people talk about infinity, usually their mind is on the concept of infinite space. God's beyond infinite space. There is no space that contains God. We need to understand what the infinity of God is all about, beyond all creation. So this week, when we are talking about calling for help when no one is there, or is the universe God and can it hear you, or Wednesday night, when science gets God under the microscope, slicing God. And then the God particle. We're going to take a look at what we do to try to pull God down into, listen, even the highest of intellect, the highest of science, the highest of technology cannot scratch the surface of the being of God. You know what? That's okay. Because God has done something big. God has spoken. God has revealed. God is knowable. It all begins with the fact that we've been made by God. There's a print inside of you. The imago Dei, the very fact that we were created by God, created for God. That's part of the reason why humanity does seek something outside of themselves. I mean, look at the world around you right now. All around you right now, you know what? There is some of the, you know, listen, as far as knowledge and wisdom and technology, it's the highest probably in human history. I mean, some can go back to other, you know, Atlantis and talk about those kind of places. But no, let's talk about today. Let's talk about, you know, universities and intellectuals. And I'm fascinated sometimes when I watch a television show where it seems like these are world-renowned intellectuals sitting there, you know, bringing out their reason and their thought and their conjecture, and they look very, very astute. But compared to what? And compared to who? This is where, again, there is a massive difference between what man knows and the depth of God. I've got such great news concerning this, is that God has made himself known. God has spoken. God is speaking. God is... And that's what I say in all these shows. I'm going to tell you right now again, I know that God loves you. I know that God knows your life. I know that God wants you. I also know that God listens. God hears. That's part of the incredible, inseparable, unbroken fellowship that can be enjoyed by the believer in Christ. Because the presence of God is no longer on the outside, out there somewhere. In receiving Jesus Christ into your life, God has come in and brought you into a relationship, because the barriers have been broken, the barriers have been taken care of, and the ultimate issue about all the barriers, sin, Satan, hell, all of it, justification, righteousness, all of these issues, what's the final outcome? Relationship. Knowing God, having an experiential relationship with God, to where, you know, as I sat down in Tennessee just 2 days ago, looking at my mother, 77-year-old mother, seeing that she's frail, seeing that bones have, you know, have been broken before, and this surgery, literally what they did was to kind of inject some kind of cement or into this, to the vertebrae that cracked or broke, to harden it. Oh, my mom was in great pain. I mean, these bodies of ours, they're breaking down. There's this element of life that's called death. We are decaying, and we have difficulty. Now, looking at my mom face to face, this is reality. This is bigger than Copenhagen right now, and what's going on there. Because it's about a human life. The face of an individual. My mom and I discussed when my dad died. In his will, he already had it planned and plotted that he was cremated. When I went to pick him up after I flew to California, he was sitting in a bag, in a box, on a table at the mortuary. They said, "There's your dad." And it was just dust and bits of bones in a box that they put into a bag that had handles. And they gave it to me, and they said, "This is your dad. His face is not here. His arms are not here. There's no more voice." My mom's telling me about, you know, when she dies, what she wants. And she was telling me that it was kind of strange that I was willing to listen to all of that, and that there's others that won't listen and talk about the end of life. Why it is we die? Can the universe tell us? Why it is we die? Can the scientist really tell us why? I mean, not show us how. Not talk about being brain dead or whatever else. Clinical death. Medical death. But I mean real biblical thanatos, death. Why is there a difference when a believer in God, a believer in Christ, dies? It is said that their physical body, they're asleep. There's an incredible hope. There's a different category. Now, listening to me at this moment, there may be an individual. You do not have the Spirit of God on the inside of your life, and you don't know yet what it means to have inside of you the witness of the infinite Spirit of God, of eternal life, of knowing God. At the moment, and this is what my mother, listen, 77 years old, we're talking about, you know, my grandmother who died. I led my grandmother to Christ. She was 80 years old. I was in the hospital the day she died. She reached up and patted me on the face, told me to keep my jacket on to keep warm, because she had to go now. She knew she was going to God. She knew she was leaving here. She had no fear. Talking to my mother, there's no fear. Over a year and a half ago when I was down in the hospital, my mother was on breathing machines and everything else, and she would reach out to me and ask me to pray for God to take her home. She would reach her arms up into the air and ask for Jesus to come and get her. She didn't fear death. She wanted out of the pain and out of the misery. She wanted the ultimate hope. You know what the Bible says? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Millions of New Agers have no concept of that. Whatever the spirituality is, whatever the alternative is, God would say that, number one, it is an idol. Number two, God says that when spirituality, alternative spirituality, becomes your God, and God says in Deuteronomy 29, make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. I want to say to all the New Agers, I want to say to all the psychics, I want to say to all the paranormal researchers, the spirit and presence and spirituality that you embrace, has it come from God? Does it lead to God? Is it a substitute? If it is a substitute, God calls it an idol. God sees it as a sometimes purposed and plotted and planned substitute to take you away from God, to keep you blinded from the embrace of God. The Bible says that God is spirit. Jesus says, read about it, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Those who have had many spiritual experiences but have never met God, you are embracing the substitutes like the fallen world in the past did. God says that it's an idol. It can't ultimately help you. It can't lead you to heaven. It can't give you eternal life. And God is saying that it produces bitter poison. And that's the sad thing I see for people that have been into the New Age and into alternative spirituality, into gods and goddesses, into so many things. It becomes a bitter poison. An atheist, in the end, it becomes a bitter poison. When Nietzsche died, when you think in terms of his writings and the impact he had with Hitler and the rest of the world, yet he dies crazed. He dies crazed, insane, sickly, whatever it was. He died bad. Even Darwin died bad. Freud died bad. Aleister Crowley, who still influences millions in occultism, he died diseased, poor, poverty-stricken, and crazed. He died bad. In the end, idolatry, spiritual idolatry, becomes a bitter poison. A bitter poison. If you are there right now in your life and you've embraced what you think is real, and it's probably real in the sense that, you know, the spiritual experience is real, everything about it seems to be real, but if it didn't come from God, it is not God. It is not God at all. And when you cry out to it, when you speak to it, when you hope in it, when you believe in it, when you testify about it, when you tell others about it, you have exchanged the glory of God for an idol. I'm going to read you something that the Spirit of God has penned. The Spirit of God spoke this 2,000 years ago. They are living words right now. They speak about the panoramic view of humanity. how in the fall of the human race, we as humans even went further away from God. Just listen to these words of God in Romans chapter 1. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God, he's the unkillable God, indestructible God, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. For those who are 2012ers looking backwards to the Mayans, this verse speaks so complete about the Mayans back then. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, diable man. I know that's a new word. Death-ridden, death-infested mankind, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. May I say it very plainly, that we as the human race, in the fall, in believing the lie, in chucking God, in going out on a limb, my friends, the limb broke. And humanity continues to exchange the glory of God. And I want to say right now that there are those who are scientists, theoretical physicists. It doesn't make any difference how smart you are. It doesn't make any difference how many books you've read. It doesn't make any difference if you can speak about string theory backward and forward and explain dark matter to some degree. When we talk about the God particle on Friday night and also Sunday night in the live show with chat, it doesn't matter how much we know about those who are engaged with the concept of the God particle, but that it demonstrates that when we don't know God, we are scratching at the surface of created things. That we're embracing things that become the idols, that which our hearts cling to. I wonder whether there are theoretical physicists, some people out there at CERN. I wonder whether there are scientists that put more trust into a microscope than they do the living, immortal, personal, relational God. This week, the topic, idols that can't hear, speak, or help you. Could I ask you a question? If you were to die tonight, what would you want set in your casket? And if humanity's nothing more than an animal, bones, if it's nothing more than just a biological, you know, discarding of a shell, then why can't we just flush the human being down the toilet like we do a goldfish? What is it about us that honors the existence? Talking with my mom this 2 days ago, caskets. Caskets cost $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. Funerals, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $15,000. To be buried in the ground. I told my mom, and this is true, if I would physically die before the Lord comes, in my request, I want the cheapest, simplest pine box anybody can find. As a statement that the human body and the human existence is more important than the casket that would seek to embrace and preserve. Physical death is about evidencing something went wrong in humanity, a death code. We rot, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Is that it? The atheist says that's it. In the idolatry of atheism, that's it. We no longer exist. Zip. It's over. We were here. We lived. And now we're dead and gone. Annihilation. Really? That doesn't sit well in the hearts of billions around the world. You ever read that scripture found in the book of Ecclesiastes? Maybe Dawkins, Dr. Dawkins, the atheist, has never read it. God has set eternity into our hearts, but we can't fathom what God does from beginning to end. Something about humanity, something inside of us, screams eternal, screams we must live forever. Well, part of that is what we have been made to be in the beginning. Please understand, we are created to be eternal. The eternal God, the immortal God, created eternal beings, immortal people, in the beginning. Please understand, sin and death and the satanic presence are intrusions. That the satanic presence and the sin that occurred open the door for death. Death is an intrusion. Death is an enemy. Death is conquered. That's why I'm saying again, scientists don't understand. Intellectuals, so-called intellectuals, that though they understand a little bit about dark matter, a string theory, though they can conjecture on teleportation, though they can say how we die, or what is clinical or medical death, before they pronounce death, write it down on a death certificate, and tag our toe, and send us off to a cold morgue in the basement of the hospital, only to be shipped to the funeral parlor, where the bodies are cleaned up and fixed up and makeup and hair is done and we're dressed and put into a box. And we're not there. I've done hundreds of funerals over 30-some years as a pastor. Whether a baby, a teenager, an adult, a senior, whatever the reason for the death, in that casket, they are hard, cold, and gone. The idols of atheism, being an agnostic, an existentialist, the intellectual idols are just as much an idol as Nebo, Shemosh, Moloch, alternative spirituality, alien presence. If your heart clings to something outside of you and you embrace it as the ultimate. I heard somebody the other day talking about the powers can help you. Cry out to the universe. The powers can help you. I'll talk about this Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Is the universe listening? Is the universe hearing you? If so, does it have a name? How do you know? Is the universe speaking? I'm going to tell you tomorrow, yes, but not in the way you think. I'm going to tell you that the universe is speaking massively to the world with a unified voice. So listen, for all the scientists, the theoretical physicists, I love listening to Miku Kaku and others. I like Paul Davis. I love reading all kinds of things. You know, I love reading all kinds of things. I got thousands and thousands of books all around me. I love reading all kinds of stuff. I'm right now pouring into the whole God particle issue. But I love the fact that God has made it very clear that humanity, fallen humanity, by our own wisdom, by reaching down to our intellectual bootstraps, we have not been able to pierce the being of God. Not on our own. Though imprinted in you a concept of eternity, though imprinted in you a concept of ultimate, well, of God. The law of God's written in the heart of man. It involves not only the existence of God, but the concept of morality is there. But as it says in Romans chapter 1, God says it very clearly, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks. Verse 23 says, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. Some that are listening to me right now, and I'm going to say, listen, Wiccans and pagans and dark Luciferians, there's no question that you're embracing something spiritual outside of yourself. As a human being, we were meant to do that. We were meant to have something outside of it. We were created by something outside of ourselves. If we think we came by chance, somehow the whirlwind of a big bang thrust everything, including oxygen and air, and we were the amoebas in the primordial soup that popped up out of whatever and sprouted legs and began to breathe and eventually built fires and ate chickens and then lived in caves and on and on and on and on. Chance? By chance we're here? You're going to cry out to chance? You're going to call on chance? You're going to ask chance, what's the reason we live? What's the reason we die? What happens afterwards? Please, Mr. Chance, tell us. We're here by chance? Is that what you embrace? Exchanging the glory of the immortal God for intellectual substitutes? Are they really intellectual? Are they really? To exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. How intellectual is that? If we are so intellectual, how come we haven't gotten to God clearly, infallibly, totally? Is it because there's something wrong? Is it because there is a barrier? Is it because we have done something? Well, biblical revelation tells us that we are the ones that cut ourselves off from direct and personal and eternal relationship. Hey, since we're delving into this, can I ask you a question tonight? You know, in the midst of your pain, the ragged edge of this life, the end of days, conspiracies, and even embracing the fact that Tiger Woods went out and had relationships with other women and his wife's mad at him and chased him with a gun. You know, that's what everybody's talking about. Copenhagen, 200 nations gathering together. 200 nations gathering together. Can I tell you that an up and coming idol that, well, I will say some have already, and even God has said in the past, this has happened. It's happening all over again. When creation, when nature, when the created things when the environmental movement becomes an idol. An idol that can't hear, speak, or help. Now, I will say this, that when mankind turns to the environment, turns to creation, turns to embrace created things rather than the Creator. And I might be speaking to somebody that's saying, man, I love the universe. Okay, so do I. The universe is awesome. But I know the Creator of the universe. I love in the summertime, I plant lots of flowers. I do a lot of outside. That's one thing I love to do on the side. I jog in deep woods and deer on the path. And I love sometimes just to stand there and smell the pine trees. I close my eyes. I raise my arms. And I don't say, Mr. Pine Tree, I want to tell you about my troubles. I don't look to the deer and bow down and make a little set of antlers to wear on my head as I give homage to the deer. I've stood 10 feet away from the deer, back there in the woods all by myself, amazed, looking at it as it looks at me. You know what I've done? I've talked. I've looked right at it and I said, wow, it's an amazing thing. Did you know that God is the Creator? It seems to me that animals understand. They're the ones that were called by God when it came to the ark. That's another story in itself as far as God preserving the animals. Interesting, isn't it? I don't know how you look at creation. I look at creation as awesome, magnificent, massive, incredible. I look at the universe, the stars at night. I look at the flower. I look at deep woods, and I looked at the mountains in Kentucky and the hills and the pine trees in Tennessee these last couple of days. Magnificent, beautiful, awe-striking. Did I worship them? No. If I yelled out and said, trees of Tennessee, can you help me? Would they hear? Of course not. Tomorrow I'm going to tell you, or I'm going to ask you, that if trees could talk, if mountains could talk, if the stars could talk, what would they say? And I'm going to tell you tomorrow that they are talking, and they are speaking, and they are communicating, and there is content to their speech. That's tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. But they're not meant to become the idol. They're not there to become God. They're not the Creator. They're part of creation. So the question would be today, when it comes to the Mayans, when it comes to New Agers, when it comes to environmentalists, are you exchanging the glory of the immortal God, the Creator? Are you exchanging that for created things? When you could have. Have you ever read this in Jonah? And by the way, we only have a few minutes tonight left. I can't even believe the hour has gone so fast. Seems like Monday night's kind of the introduction for the entire week. And I want to say again, you can write in during the show, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. I want to say again that I'm extremely grateful that you're here and that God has given the opportunity. But I want you to know that, again, God is real. The Creator is real. If creation is real, back it up. There's a Creator, uncreated Creator, uncaused cause, who has a name, who's alive, who's working, who's ministering. Not just an energy field, not a force, not a particle to put under the microscope and slice and see if we can see the eyes of God looking back. I want you to know that very clearly there is a way to know God. There's a way to embrace God, for God to embrace the depth of your heart. Number one, you are made for God. Number two, God is seeking you. And if you've come to know, and if you do know him now, and if you are a believer in the living Christ, who is God in human flesh, you've got to grasp that. Sitting again with a 77-year-old mother, seeing her life ebb and flow, talking about as we were kids, thinking through all the years of the labor and the love and the work and the experiences of a lifetime. My mom's ready to go home. My mom's not afraid to die. My mom received the living Christ into her life and has the gift of indestructible immortality. The Spirit of God communicates inside. Now, that's what I say. All the New Agers that I've met, all the New Agers, and those talk shows that have embraced alternative spirituality, I constantly see they have no assurance. When you die, where do you go? I don't know. Like the girl at the coffee shop that was embracing New Age and some Buddhistic and Hinduistic type teachings from a guy. She was talking about going to the great beyond. I said, where's that at? It's out there, you know, beyond, way out, beyond, out there, out where? Where do your beliefs lead you? Where do they come from? In a world that is bringing to billions of people a feeling of an ominous, catastrophic, and chaotic conclusion, when there's a clamoring for globalism and 200 nations are gathering in Copenhagen to decide how they can tax the rest of the world and suck in billions of dollars, is there conspiracy behind it? Is there a shadow presence behind it? Where's all the money going to go? What's globalism all about? Outside the perspective of the immortal God giving the insight, most people would just think that the world is crazy, that the world is just simply insane. My dear friends, God has a clear voice. There's a Savior that loves you, that can come into your life. Jesus Christ can bring the experience of God inside. Call upon him. Turn to him. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7. God bless.